First Peter tonight, if you would. First Peter chapter 2, and we'll preach tonight starting in verse 9. And we'll read down to verse 12 and just see what the Lord has for us tonight. Sure want to just be in His presence tonight. Just want to be snuggled up as John was to the Lord and laid his head on his bosom. Tonight, may we be so near and dear to our Lord. If we could, tonight, if you stand to your feet, we'll begin reading in verse 9. I believe tonight these are some of the most glorious words concerning a believer tonight. He says in verse 9, but we preached this morning the previous scripture, so we know what that is. But we are a chosen generation. Royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul, having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. What a glorious name. Lord, you are precious. Lord, we have tasted of you, Lord, and you're gracious. Lord, you're so kind and so good to us. God, you give us privilege tonight to sing the songs that mentioned your name. Lord, we're able to read the scripture tonight that you wrote. God, we're able tonight, Lord, to preach under the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. Tonight, Lord, we can make choice in the favor of God. God, we can offer spiritual sacrifices tonight, Lord, that will bring joy to you. Oh, may you be pleased. And may you be honored tonight in all that we do and say. And tonight, Lord, may it be a special night with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach tonight on just the first three words of that verse 9. It says, but ye are. You know, tonight, as we look at the scripture, we find that there in verse 22 of chapter 1, he says, seeing you have purified your souls. Chapter 1 in verse 9 says, even the salvation of your souls. Here in chapter 2 in verse 11 says, which war against the soul. Tonight, I would hope that you would know that by you being faithful to the house of God tonight will not bring more money to your bank account. It will not make your marriage better and your children more mature or less rebellious. Tonight, this thing about serving and being what God would have you to be tonight, it will not bring a healing of a sickness. Tonight, it's all in the way of your soul. It's all in the way tonight of a spiritual life. So how, some way tonight, in the midst of all the confusion and chaos, we think that because of our need physically, we eat food. And because of our need tonight medically, we go to the doctor. Because of our need tonight financially, we go to a banker. But friend, this has nothing to do with any of that tonight. This is about a spiritual walk with God. And this is who you are in a spiritual sense tonight. And tonight, we can't discount that. Even though tonight, we may not really, in a physical sense, be a priest. Or tonight, in a sense, be a nation. Or tonight, be a people. But yet tonight, we are. in Christ, serving the Lord. And so in that thought tonight, there's no days that go by with waste in a spiritual way. There's no hours that go by tonight that you said, you know, I've just wasted this time. Tonight, every single minute of every single day, God is going to work, and God's going to work with us and on us along the way, and we are a spiritual people tonight. Yes, we're going to die if the Lord don't tarry. And yes, tonight you don't eat, you're going to hunger. And yes, tonight you don't drink, you're going to thirst. And yes, tonight you don't go to work, you'll become poor. And yes, tonight you don't pay your light bill, you'll be in the dark. Oh yes, all those things are true. But the height of living tonight is living a spiritual life. That's the life to live. The life of abundancy tonight is living with Christ and living for Jesus. Friend, that's the truth of no matter where you are and how old you are and what you're going through or where you've been tonight. And so, but ye are. And so we got to know who we are tonight. I don't think tonight that we can live a life that is the abundant life tonight and not know who we are. And yet at the same time, tonight we know that physically, financially, medically, emotionally, mentally tonight, that all those things Jesus didn't come to correct. You know, if Jesus came to correct, he didn't correct anything socially. Did you know that? When he came to walk on the earth for 3.5 years, he didn't correct the government. He didn't correct the Rome. He didn't go into the high priest and go and correct them Pharisees and those Sadducees and those chief priests and those. He didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of the social. He didn't do any of the religion. Friend, he didn't do anything tonight to set the world in a kingdom where you and I live in. Jesus is not about that tonight. Jesus is about coming and saving and indwelling and living his life in you for the rest of your life in a spiritual way. And tonight we want to talk about that spiritual life, that spiritual way. It ought to encourage your heart tonight to know that this God and who is the creator of heaven tonight would see such of us tonight that he would invest in us, his dear darling son. And while investing in us, his dear darling son tonight, we became something. Paul said this, I am what I am by the grace of God. Tonight, I tell you this, and I'll be very honest with you, and it might be pride within me or arrogancy, but I believe tonight that if I didn't know the Lord, that I could be a rich man, or I could be a man that would be much of wealth, and a man that would have many things, because I know what to do and how to do. And so in that thought tonight, I have chose Christ, not because of the wealth in Christ, not because of the health in Christ, not because of the things that Christ offered tonight, but I chose Christ because Christ chose me. Amen? I believe in all my heart tonight that every one of us might be a little better off financially if you didn't know Christ. Some of y'all tonight might be a little more materialistic if you didn't know Christ. You might live in a better home. You might drive a better car. You might wear fancier clothes. Tonight you might have been a world traveler and seen the whole world. Who knows what you would have done without Christ? But the bottom line tonight, this is the greatest life to live. With all that being said, who are we tonight? Well, I can say tonight, we are what we are because of God's choice. And tonight I can look in his face, and you can too tonight, and you say, you know, Lord, what I'm about to say in verse 9, I couldn't do that with any of my abilities. I couldn't do it with my going to school. I couldn't do it by getting better skills. I couldn't do it tonight with any money that could be given. I couldn't do it with any schooling. Tonight, everything in verse 9, God made choice. Not one of us tonight can ever be this. We can be a lot of things in this life, but we can never be this. And this is the greatest that you can be. Can I say tonight, not all is this. Just those who are believers, amen, who believe that Jesus is precious. And if you believe that Jesus is precious tonight, you've been born again. If you've been born again, you're a newborn babe. You're a newborn babe. You desire the sincere milk of the Word. If you desire the sincere milk of the Word, you have grown thereby. And yet you have tasted the Lord, and He become gracious. Amen. You've decided to lay your life upon that stone. And while doing that tonight, you've been built up in the habitation of God. You become a temple of the Lord, amen, where God dwells in you. And we find tonight Jesus being the chief cornerstone, the foundation of this building that you and I are bounded together, and we are His tonight. And by being His tonight, you become something. So let's not walk out of these doors tonight as if we're nothing, because we're something. But we're only something because of Him. The first thing I want you to notice that we are tonight, we're a chosen generation. He didn't say a chosen frozen, but a chosen generation. Now, what's so important about a chosen generation? I want you to notice tonight, a generation. What is a generation? Is a generation something that lasts forever? No. Is a generation from a period of time? Yes. Some say a generation in the Bible is 40 years. Some say a generation in the Bible is 80 years. Some even say it's 120 years. I don't really know. The Bible don't give us a specific time of a generation, but we know that generations come and generations go. We know that, amen? And so we found in our short lifetime, we could say, well, that generation, my generation, their generation, and that generation, we were talking about a period of time. And the chosen generation. Now get this tonight. You are the chosen generation. That generation began in Acts chapter 2 in the day of Pentecost, Fred, when the Holy Ghost of God dwelt in us and the birth of the church was on because the Spirit of God made live of that which was His tonight. And then one day, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be caught up in the air with Him in the cloud, amen? The end of the generation. So the generation began at Pentecost. The end will take place at rapture, amen? You're the chosen generation. Woo! I mean, not everybody's been chosen like that. I'm the chosen generation. I'm just not any generation. I'm just not some generation. I'm just not a generation that's going to just go out some way. Oh, no, I'm the chosen generation. Started in down at Pentecost, and it will take up at rapture. Man, I wasn't there on Pentecost. I believe it to be so, though. I hope I'm here on the rapture. Can you imagine that quick trip? Can you imagine laying down all the clothes and my glasses and all my bum knee and my bum elbow and my bum. This morning I got up and my shoulder blade had a crick in it. I was just trying to walk around, trying to move forward. That gout in my toe, I tell you, the hurt of the ankle, the lower of my back. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm 1,000 years old. Oh, but one day, this chosen generation's going to go. Woo, it's over. Amen. Who's going to be there? The chosen generation. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad there's a beginning and there's an end. I'm excited tonight. You can be a duddy ruddy if you want to. You can walk around here, friend, with a face that's stale, and you would threaten you can walk around here as dead tonight. Oh, but I choose to lift Him up and say, thank you, Lord. I'm of the chosen generation. Amen. And now I'm going to say it with a little bit of pride, because not everybody is. My friend, when I go out of here in just a moment, I'm going to get in my car and go straight home. But it may be at home tonight. They're not of the chosen generation. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to go to work. And there's going to be many of those that are not of the chosen generation. Amen. And then when I go out to see the customers or potential customers, because, you know, the filthy lucre that's desired of all men, it seems, it's going to be not the chosen generation. And then, friend, when you go about your life and go eat in the restaurants and go down to Wally World and get you a few things, the chosen generation may not be there. Oh, but just rest assured, you're the chosen generation. You're that generation that God has chosen. This is the generation. This is the generation right here. I'm glad I'm part of it tonight. God, thank you, Lord, that you are such grace and such merciful to me, a sinner as I am, and make me a choice of a chosen generation. That's not in the, it's not in the beginning, it's not in the end, and it's not for long. Generations are that away. So this generation, the chosen generation, listen, it's not for long. We may be checking out here real soon. Amen. It may be the last one gets saved. It may be the last church that goes into apostasy. It may be the last earthquake. It may be the last tsunami. It may be the last tonight of some kind of financial downfall. It might be the last war. Friend, just get ready. It's not going to last for long, but you can know this. You're the chosen generation. I can say here tonight, number two, you're a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Now tonight, the Lord had many priests in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament tonight, He had a high priest. He had priests. And so there was a priesthood of Levi and of Aaron tonight. But we find tonight there was none that was called the royal priesthood. And so tonight we supersede and go above and beyond any priesthood that was preceding us. Here we find that God has now made choice that those of the chosen generation will be the generation who are priesthoods. They are priests tonight. And we find that to be a royal meaning tonight that we are His priest. See, the other priests were the Jews' priests or the Jewish priests. But tonight, every one of us is saved and born again. We're His priest. Oh, we work for the high priest, amen? And Jesus is the great high priest, according to the Scripture. And we work for Him tonight. We are His royal. See, friend, we're royal. We're kingly. We're up in the upper echelon. We are in the heights of heaven. Hey, friend, up there on the throne, we are joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God tonight. We are royal priesthood. We're His. So tonight, while we're in this generation from the Pentecost to the rapture, there's a short period of time. We've got to get priesting. You ever heard that before? It's like if you're going to run, you've got to get running. Well, you're going to have to get priesting. Because tonight, we're the royal priesthood. There's nobody else outside of this royal priesthood that can pray and God hears. None. Just the royal priesthood. Tonight, only those that He chose to be in a royal priesthood. Not only is it His priesthood, but it's a spiritual priesthood. It's a spiritual priesthood in that you and I tonight, we can offer up to the Lord spiritual sacrifices. We know that because it said that in verse 5. It says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So nobody else tonight in all the world within this generation can offer up any sacrifices that are spiritual tonight. Now they can offer up animal sacrifices, and they can offer up fruit sacrifices, or they can offer up human sacrifices, or they can offer up anything else tonight that could be considered a sacrifice to them, but only the chosen generation, who is the holy priesthood, have the privilege to offer a spiritual offering. Right. I feel like I'm somebody. You know what I mean? I tell you tonight. I know who I am, and I don't feel good about that, but I know who He thinks I am, and I feel real good about that. You ever thought like that? Man, tonight, I'm a spiritual priesthood. And able to offer up sacrifices, but I'm able to pray. I'm able to have access to God. I'm talking about the God of this world. I'm talking about the Creator of this world, whom no one ever seen. And that God tonight, who always lives, who's of eternity and of divine and sovereignty, and Him tonight of all power and all glory and all honor, and Him tonight that has all of the power of all of authority of all of the world in which I live tonight, He said that I can pray because I'm a royal priesthood. I can talk to God. Can you imagine that? They call me crazy. I call them dumb. Man, I could be crazy for Christ as all day long. Amen. I'm of the royal priesthood. I'm the kingly priest. I have spiritual sacrifices. I'm able to pray to God, but you can't. So who's crazy? They're crazy. We're offering them an opportunity to be part of the royal priesthood, to be able to offer such sacrifices that are spiritual from the fruit of our lips, and that God would smell with a sweet Savior and into His nostrils tonight, that will be pleasing unto Him. As the prayers go forth unto Him and has incense to His nose and nostrils tonight, and as He smells and receives and answers and moves the heart of God and the hand of God, me and you of the royal priesthood have the authority to do that. Nobody else does. No wonder tonight that all those people who are adversaries to you and all those enemies that you have make fun of you because you go to church and make fun of you, and they say, well, you know, what do you pray for? You can't see whom you're praying to. And you know, you go to church and all he does is yell and scream and spit and sweat and say how horrible you are. And when you walk out of there, every time you don't feel good about yourself. Why would you continue to put yourself in that under that situation where he just abuses you? But yet when they get cancer, they call the royal priesthood. When they're on the side of the road and nobody takes them in and they're kind of hungry and they ain't got much to eat tonight, they call the royal priesthood. Huh? That's the way it works. That's the way it works at my house. Oh, they might want to make fun, and they might want to ridicule, and they might want to mock, and they might want to say I'm just an old-fashioned. They might say that I'm archaic, and they might want to say that's the way it used to be, and that's the way it was a long time ago, but it's changed now, and all that. Oh, but every once in a while they come to me and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. All of a sudden, the royal priesthood has some kind of power. Amen. I'm glad tonight that I'm a chosen generation and I of that royal priesthood. I'm hoping tonight you see a different perspective of who you are. That we can walk out of here tonight together. Royal priesthood. Oh, not tell you why offer a sacrifice and pray, but to worship tonight. I mean, listen, the priest did all they did to worship. We can worship God. Did you know that tonight? That tonight we have the privilege and we have the honor tonight that we could step into the realm of worship. Friend, we don't have to fake it. We don't have to bring a band in order to get our flesh to moving. We don't have to bring some special speaker that has ability of speaking and has all kinds of ways about him, like a clown to make you laugh, or somebody who's strong to lift a weight and rip a telephone book, and or all those other shenanigans that they have. Friend, all we got to come is in the name of Jesus and before God, and because we're the royal priesthood, and worship Him. We don't need no additives. We don't need extras. We just got to come with an humbled heart. We got to come asking for forgiveness and get cleansed with God. We just got to come and call on His name. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. He says, yes, my royal priesthood. We've got a direct line with God. We got, friend, when we lift up the phone, He's always on the other end. Oh, friend, every time and any time of the day and night, no matter if you're way in the valley, no matter if you're high on the top of the hill, no matter if the storm is raging, no matter if the darkness is so bad you can't see your hand in front of you tonight, you call out His name, and He's there. Holy priesthood. Worship. Bow our heads, bow our hearts, bow our lives to a real, true, living God. Only the royal priesthood. Not just priesthood. They had those before. They never had a royal priesthood. There was chosen people. Remember God said His people, Israel, were chosen people? Never been a chosen generation. We're new. Royal priesthood. We're new. How can I say tonight, number three, a holy nation. and holy nation. Again, I'm telling you, these are spiritual things. We got to live a spiritual life. Oh, I know tonight men, some women, have to go out and make a living. And that's the right thing to do. But more than that, living for Jesus is of greater matter. I know as husbands and wives that we have to meet the needs of our spouses. I know that. But greater than that is Jesus. I know tonight that we have other responsibilities and accountabilities of life with burdens and cares to go along with that in the life in which we live tonight. But greater than that, Christ and Him crucified. Well, tonight, we're a holy nation. Do you think yourself tonight as a nation? I say I'm of American. The greatest nation of the land. I believe it, amen? I believe it. I believe tonight that we all are to stand at an anthem. We all are to look at a flag with due respect. And all that it represents. We think about the blood that was shed on this country and a country's over there and over there and over yonder so that you and I could have freedoms here tonight. The flag, the national anthem, the United States of America. What a nation. What a nation. Oh, but tonight, can I say to you, within all the world tonight, there's a holy nation. Can I say to you, America, tonight is an unholy nation. Oh, but it's great. Yes, it is. It's powerful. Yes, it is. You say, well, there's a lot of problems with America. Well, it's kind of funny that everybody who's not in America tries to get to America as quick as they can. And most of them try to get here illegally. Oh, but this holy nation. The word nation there means race. Tonight, me and you are in a separated race. We're amongst the nation of America. If you're of another country, you're amongst that nation. But in the midst of that nation, God has made chosen of a generation. He has called out a royal priesthood. And within that, He has put set aside a holy nation, a holy race, a race of people tonight made up of red, white, and yellow, and blue, and green, of all colors, of all nationalities, of all intellect tonight, of all social elects, and of everyone of poor to rich tonight. And tonight, it has no bearing on anything, on anyone. It's just a race, but that race is separated. And so tonight, even though we're Americans of a great nation called America, you and I are of another nation. That's holy. A holy nation. We're a holy race. God has raised us up to be a holy race. Tonight, we can't allow us being American to be above our holy nation. Even though America is unholy, within America, we're a nation of holiness. And so we find we've been separated from all other nations. Now we're highly separated because the Bible says a holy nation. We're a singular in race. None of us tonight is greater or less than the other. And yet every one of us tonight, we are a singular race. Do we meet? You don't have a race, you have a race, you have a race, you have a race. No. We are a holy nation. We're singular in that nation. In other words, we're together. Amen? When we get raptured, we're going to go together. And when we get to eternity, we're going to be together. And while we're down here, we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're of one church. We're of one body. We have one Lord. We have one Spirit. Amen? We have one Father tonight. And by the way, we have one Bible. And so we say tonight, as a one nation, which is a holy nation, we're separated, but we're singular. We got to know that tonight. that weren't over here at Glory Baptist Church. We're our own little holy nation. Then over at Parkwood got their own holy nation. No, we're all one holy nation. We find we're singular, and yet at the same time tonight, we're a spiritual race. But this word here of a holy nation would mean of a secret race. You say, Brother Larry, we're part of the secret society? I mean, we're of the Rockefellers? I mean, we're of those Clintons and of those Bushes and of those other people who've done died off and they're in charge of everything, everything that's going to go on, and they have power and authority, and they meet in the closet, they meet in the dark, and they're over this, they're over that, the Illuminati. Right? I believe that they're real. I believe there's some truth to all that. I believe tonight, and within all that, the eye on our dollar and other things tonight that send a message out to those who are really in charge. I believe it to be true. But can I say to you and I, within their little old party, we are a special nation. And we're secret. As much as they don't know about, we don't know about them, they don't know. You know, the world out there is looking to be a part of a gang, ain't they? I mean, all these young people, they get out from home and they feel like they've been abused. They feel like because they couldn't get their little game that they wanted to play, the war game or whatever, or they didn't get their little tape of Britney Spears. I guess it ain't Britney Spears no more. It's somebody else, Bieber or whatever his name is. So they didn't get all that, so they got mad, so they were abused when they were young. You know, so these things go on. So the first thing they do is they go out and they're looking for a gang. Because in a gang, they feel like they have some partnership and some fellowship. And we can agree with each other. We got tattoos and we got earrings and we steal and we kill and we hate. And we got bitterness in our heart. And we don't like America. We don't like the flag. We don't like anybody. All we do is like ourselves. And so us gang is going to go about terrorizing the world because we are of ourselves and we're in charge of everything. And that makes them feel secure. It makes them feel like they're part of something. Oh, but tonight, you and I are a secret. Secret nation. They don't know about us. You ever thought about that? Friend, that you need to think of this. When you go out there and you tell them, hey, Jesus Christ loves you, and they look at you and say, you're a fanatic. Yeah, the reason you think I'm a fanatic because I'm a secret nation. Because see, if you was the chosen generation and you was the royal priesthood and you was the holy nation, you'd be with me. Huh? But because you're not with me, I'm secret. But I'm not trying to stay secret. I'm just trying to tell you about Jesus. And by me telling you about Jesus, you look at me cross-eyed. As if I'm a, what's that nutcase down in North Korea said called Trump? He said he's a dotard? A dotard, right? Daughter? Dotard. What's the difference? It's spelled the same. D-O-T-A-R-D. You know what that means? That means somebody who's weak-minded. Amen. Whether it's a dotard or dirt or whatever it is. The fact of the matter is tonight, we are a secret nation. Hope you know that. Woo! I like it, man, because I walk out here now and tomorrow I'm going to tell everybody at work, hey, man, I'm of a secret nation, and you're going to need to get in, but you're going to have to ask me. I got the password. And you want to get in this old, you want to get in this nation. Now, there are people going to look at me and write me off, probably send me on down to Austin, down at the mental institution. Something happened to Brother Larry on Sunday. He done went crazy. Oh, but I was trying to tell us what we are. We're a holy nation. Singular, spiritual, secret. You having fun tonight? I am. Some people say, well, Brother Larry, do you worry about what people are thinking? I don't give a rip. Amen. Just leave me alone, right? I mean, I'm of this chosen generation. I'm of this royal priesthood. I'm of this holy nation. Then he goes on and says, I'm a peculiar people. That even makes me more happy. Man, because we find that we become a peculiar people with God. We become, that word peculiar means special. Special. A lot of people say, I'm special all the time. Some people say, listen, brother, I bet you when you was in school that you drove on them one of them buses that came in the front and they unloaded you on the side. Special. I'm okay with special, amen? Because that's what that word peculiar means. And God said to you and me that believe that He's precious tonight, that we are a peculiar people. And no other people can be peculiar people but us tonight. Special people. Special. The word peculiar tonight would also have a thought of being something of private. Private people. Tonight we're private people. We're not out here for the public. Satan, let me just tell you, don't belong to you no more. I belong to God. I'm of a private nature. This is private property. Don't touch. I'm of a peculiar people. I'm private tonight. The body that I have is owned by Jesus tonight. The soul that I have tonight is made alive by the Holy Ghost of God tonight. The life that I live is designed by the Word of God tonight and led by the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Hey, Satan, you can't touch me. I belong to Jesus. Friend, you got to go through Jesus to get to me. I'm a private property. There's a sign on me tonight that says, no trespassing. You can't possess me because the Holy Ghost of God possesses me. I'm a peculiar people. I'm a possessed people. God is within me tonight. Now you say, well, can the devil put a good fight up? Oh, yeah, he can. But we have already overcome. Amen? We've already won the battles in Christ. Tonight we are victors in Jesus Christ. Peculiar people tonight. Let me get my pocket watch out because I can go on all night tonight. Hey, man, it's 6 o'clock. I want you to notice number six. I want you to notice tonight not only peculiar people, but we're God's church. Verse 9 says, he says, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Tonight, that's the church. The church has been taken out of darkness. Been taken out of darkness, which is the power of Satan, which is the power of sin, which is the power of the society. That's what we've been taken out of. That's why it's so important tonight to know who you are. Because you're not to delve back into those darknesses any longer. You've been pulled out of them. You've been removed from them tonight. Sin and Satan and society tonight are to be far from who you are and what you are. Tonight you are not to be identified with any of that. Tonight you are to be running from that, withdrawing yourself in that, putting away those things, putting up those things, putting down those things. And darkness tonight is not where you dwell. We're the children of light, not the children of darkness. We should be doing the deeds of darkness tonight. Darkness tonight ought to scare you. It'll put fear in your heart tonight of the darkness of sin, society, and of Satan tonight. Now, I don't think tonight we're to go around and look for Satan on every rock. I don't believe tonight we're to go around and start a fight with Satan. I don't believe tonight we're going to provoke him in any way. I believe he just need to leave him alone. You leave us alone and we'll be in good shape. Amen. But just letting you know tonight that I'm the church of God. And I have been taken out of your realm, of your reign, and of your authority. I'm no longer part of you. I'm part of him. But as we've been taken out of this darkness, we have been placed into light. Being placed in the light, according to verse 9, means tonight that we've been empowered by the Holy Ghost of God. That we have been empowered by the love of Christ, empowered by the Word of God. Tonight, we're not just taken out. of where we're from and something don't happen to us, but we've been put into light, and all that light is within us. Light. Light. Light tonight. That's what we do. That's what we are. We're light. By being light, the Lord's church tonight, we're to bring praise to the world. The Bible says that you should show forth the praises of Him. Show forth the praises of Him. That's what you and I are all about tonight. You see, when we become the church of God and we get pulled out of darkness, then those will see Him. But if we live in darkness tonight, you'll never see Him. So if we come out of darkness, we become into the light, and then as we live our lives in the light, the world in darkness will see Him. Amen? It reminds me tonight, it's a simple illustration, but if we turn all the lights off tonight and it all's dark and somebody will pull out one of their lighters that you use to light your cigarette, you pull out that lighter and you light that lighter, every eye will go right to the light. Right? I mean, that's what will happen. Everything will be attention to the light. That's just the way we do. That's the way things are. And so we find tonight that whenever you and I get out of darkness and we become into the light, then the darkness will see Him that has called us out of darkness into the light. That's the church of God. That's who we are tonight. We're just not roaming around this world as if we have no clue. We're not just here tonight to enjoy the pleasures of this life. We're not here to sack up money in the bank and to set aside things for the future. We're not here tonight to build up our wealth for our children to spend it. We're not here tonight to live such a life that is all about us. But it's about us coming out of the darkness and being in the light so that the darkness can see whom? Him who made us light. It's about Him tonight. That's who we are. It's Him. Tomorrow when we go out, we're going to go out in darkness. But we're little old lights. And as you shine, they're going to be asking. Maybe not to you personally, but in their mind, in their heart, they're going to be asking, who, what change happened to you? There's people in my family right now, I've been Christian for a long time. They're still questioning. When's he going to quit? Because, see, several of my family members, they got in, and they got out, and they got in, and they got out, and I just stayed in. They're wondering, what's wrong with him? How can he just stay in? Well, when you come out, you can't go in. If you come out of darkness, you can't go back to darkness. Hey, when you become light, friend, that's exactly what you will be for the rest of your life. Light. Now, your light might not shine very light, very bright, but it's going to shine. So tonight, who we are, we're the church of God. Oh, we thank the Lord for that. Praise to the world of who freed us from sin, who saved us as the Savior did, and has secured us to heaven. Can I say secondly tonight, not only God's chosen, but God's children. Talk about who we are. Look at verse 10. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Tonight, we are family. We wasn't the people of God. Before you got saved, you wasn't a people of God. But now you are a people of God, so now we're family. That's what it's saying. That word people there is referring to a family tonight. We are a family, children of God. So tonight, I'm your brother, and you're my brother or my sister. Amen? That's why we go around and say, brother, Raymond, sister, Trish. I know it sounds cultish. I know it sounds like we are of the Catholic grid with sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and father so-and-so. I understand that. Oh, but tonight, can I say that we are family? And we ought to call you by brothers and sisters. They call Brother Paul, Brother Paul. Amen? I think we ought to call each other brother and sister. I'll be honest with you tonight. And I'll tell you something. I preached this the other, it's been a little while, a couple of years ago. I preached it about when Paul got saved, they call him Brother Paul. And I made statements like, if you are to talk to me, you need to call me brother. A guy left our church and never came back. So y'all probably don't know who that was. He was here such a short period of time. I called him and asked him, why did you leave church? He said, because you told me that while you're preaching that I need to call you Brother Larry, and I don't think I need to. I said, sir, you need to grow up a little bit. I said, what I said was, they called him Brother Paul because he got saved. And due respect because of family. I said, we're family around here. And boy, I tell you, if you ever know me, I call you brother, I call you sister. And that's just the way it's going to be. Now, I didn't tell you that you have to call me Larry, but if you want to show respect to the family, then you'll call me Brother Larry. If you want to call me Larry, that's your business. May your tongue... Well, I ain't going to say what he ought to do. Amen? I still at work, and when I see Brother Bob, I say, Brother Bob. You know what people call me at work? A lot of the people do? Brother Larry. They're a bunch of rank heathens. Hey, Brother Larry! Because it's just, Brother Bob calls me, hey, brother. Mike, hey, brother, how you doing? How was church, brother? Brother, 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 brother. Because that's just the people of God. I'm aware now. Okay, I got to stop. Not only family tonight, but we have favor. We have favor tonight. We favor one another. I'll be honest with you tonight. If somebody down on the other side of my house out there called me and said, Brother Larry, can I have $500? Man, my wife is sick and she needs some money. I'm going to have to say, I don't know about that. Now, I can, if you want $500, that might be your goal. And I can give you something to help you reach that goal. But for me to provide the goal, I don't think I can. But Brother Keith calls me and says, hey, brother, I need $500. Claudia's sick. Guess what I do? I give him $500. I have to go borrow it. I have to make a loan. You know why? Because we just have favor. You call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, brother, I'm in the hospital, man. Come see me. I get up and come see you. I believe in all my heart tonight if I call you and say, hey, listen, I need some help. I believe every one of y'all be right there. Not thinking anything. Not twice. Don't care what you got going on. Don't care what you got before you. You'll put all that aside to be a help to me. You know why? Because I believe as the people of God tonight, we're family. But we have favor. We favor, especially the household of faith. Amen? We get the favor of God. We get the favor of one another. That's who we are tonight. I'm glad. I'm glad tonight. We are forever. We have a beginning. We have an ending. We have left our past tonight. God's children. Lastly tonight, God's command. Verse 11. I got, looks like I got 6 minutes to this watch. His receipt, his recipients tonight. Verse 11, to his command, he says, dearly beloved. I love the way he says that. It's a command of the Lord, but it's a sweet command. It's a command of the Lord, but it's a respectful command. You know, if I tell you in a minute, you know, I said, hey man, shut the door when you walk out of here. I say, hey, now, brother, would you shut that door when you leave out of here? Is there a difference? Dearly beloved. There's just a sweetness there. There's just something about how Peter is addressing the believers. It says, dearly beloved. Because he's fixing to bring a negative thought. He says, dearly beloved. Because we're the people of God. We are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. We're the holy nation. We're the peculiar people. And we are going to bring praises unto Him who has called us out of darkness unto light. Dearly beloved, here's a command for you. He says, as strangers and pilgrims. Let's stop there because we got to know who we are. We're a stranger. You know what a stranger is tonight? Stranger is one who's away from home. Tonight we're strangers. We're away from home, don't you think? Home is heaven. That's our home. We're away from home. We're going to get there. Don't rush it. Amen? Just take your time. The Lord knows when you need to get there. You'll show up whenever He says for you to show up. So in the meantime, just worship Him. But I tell you tonight, we are strangers in this world. We are away from home. Remember that, a stranger away from home. Now, what is a pilgrim? A pilgrim tonight is one who is going home. That's what a pilgrim is. See, we're away from home and being a stranger. But man, we're a pilgrim as well, and we're going home. We have our eyes set upon Him, amen. We are fixed upon the Lord tonight. We know where we're headed. We know tonight where we're going. If we go in the rapture or if we go by the way of death into the grave, we have our sight set upon Him. We're looking for the eastern skies. For our Redeemer draweth nigh. We know we're just pilgrims. We're just going home. Some of us will get there sooner than others. Some of us is going to be last. Some of us will be first. We're just going home. Now, while we're away from home, and while we're going home, He has some requirements. He says in verse 11, I want you to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. What does that mean to you and I tonight? Quickly, don't get held up by the worldly longings. That word abstain means to hold up. So don't allow tonight whatever worldly longings you have. And boy, can I say this tonight, and boy, I hope I say it right. In one way, there's nothing wrong to have a worldly longing. Let me give you an example. I use Brother George and Sister Yasmin. We know tonight that they're boyfriend and girlfriend. Right? Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't want if y'all broken up and not let tell me nothing about that. I don't want to create no issue. We know tonight that there's been some promise made. I don't know all the conversations. I wasn't there. But I'm sure within a man and a woman who loves one another, there's some promises that are made of a way of a marriage. And I'm not saying they're going to get married. They may or they may not. But it may be in the mind of these two that they would like to get married and then like to have children and they'd like to live in Sugar Land. They'd like to own a home. They'd like to drive a car. You say, well, man, you're worldly. There's some worldly longings like that are okay. Amen? It's okay. It's perfectly fine. I long to have a pickup truck. I long to have a rifle. I long to have a pair of earrings. I mean, these things here are okay. But don't allow that to hold you up as you're heading home. Does that make sense? Don't allow that to be the only purpose and only reason of life. Tonight, don't get held up by worldly longings. Don't get held down by carnal cravings. Don't let this world tonight keep you down by the way of debt, by the way of getting things that you can't afford, by the way of going places that break you down spiritually. This thing about going to the cinema, to the movies, and all that kind of stuff. People are really quick to go there, They sit back, and I haven't been to the movies since I got saved. But I remember when I got saved, it's been a long time ago, so the cinemas were a little different than they were. Now, I can imagine. I can imagine tonight, I don't know. I can imagine the seats are probably warm. I imagine the seats can roll back. I can imagine tonight that there's great comfort because the seat I sit on was just like that piece of wood there. And so I can imagine the comfort of everything and everything within that. It's round, round, round sound. I mean, it's 3D, 4D, 6D. I mean, listen, friend, it gets dark, it gets light. I mean, all kinds of stuff are going on and everything's up. And you got these little two over here, little lovebirds over there. And you got these little lovebirds here and you got these little lovebirds. And then when you get up there and the movie comes on, there's sexual scenes, there's blaspheming God's name, there's killing, there's violence, there's adultery, there's whoremongering, there's prostitution, there's drug sale, there's bar scenes, there's drunkenness. And you walk out of there as a Christian tonight, I'm going to tell you something. Don't tell me that can't affect you. And don't allow these carnal cravings to hold you down as you're going home. Amen? Amen, Brother Larry. I knew that'd get a little quiet right there on that one. Don't allow it to hinder your work. Don't allow it to taunt your testimony. Don't let it to soften your witness. His request, and we're with here in verse 12, live honest, having your conversation honest. Be consistent, be faithful, be upright. Listen heartily. The Bible says, as they speak against you as evildoers. The Bible don't tell us in verse 12 to respond to them, to defend yourself, nor to go on offense. It just tells us there in verse 12, as they talk to you about as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Look holy. Show forth Jesus. Shine in Jesus. Stay with Jesus. If you do that tonight, some might get saved. Some might get right. Some might start serving the Lord that you serve. Even though they talk about you evil, you live right. Live honest. May your conversation be of that tonight. May they see your works, and because of your works, they might behold your God, and they might turn to the Lord. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. That's who we are. That's who we are. I believe tonight we have a rich heritage. I believe tonight, in a spiritual sense, we got all this in heaven too. We might not have much money. We might not have much sense. We might be in a real mess. We might have difficulties, problems, and difficulties of life. Oh, but tonight, can I tell you, spiritually speaking, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. You're the people of God. You're strangers and pilgrims. The moral of the story, live for Jesus. Let your light shine so that when they see your Christ, they'll glorify the Father in you. What a way to live. That's who we are.